then I'll flip you back around.
Okay. Rocky, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Take your places, everyone. We're going to call to order the West Lafayette Community School Corporation regular meeting, Board of School Trustees. Today is Monday, November 2nd. It is at 6:31 p.m. And I'll ask for approval of the agenda, please.
So moved. Marley.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. I couldn't tell the difference on that. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. Approval of the minutes of the October 5th, 2020 regular meeting. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Dr. Springer. Any additions or corrections to the minutes? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, the motion carries. We're going to move to academic achievement first and then come back to communication from the audience on agenda, current agenda items. I think that would make some sense.
Okay, sure.
On that front.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're going to expedite one portion. So I'm going to kind of serve as initial host of this. We've got some exciting news today and an exciting presentation. Go ahead and come on up.
Thank you.
I guess I could go to this side. You can use the mic on this side.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for allowing us to do this. It's a little difficult speaking through this, but I think you can hear me. This is a great microphone, incidentally. Thank you. I'm going to bring up Shiree and her parents, too, because they're responsible for certainly her doing so well, and it was just amazing to watch Shiree just outspell everyone, honestly. And she corrected all the ones that were missed. She was just unbelievable. I'm just sorry that she didn't and couldn't go to Washington. It's the fact that she didn't want to go, we just didn't have it. And we're hoping that she will enter the Scripps Spelling Bee again and be a part of it and have the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., because as you know, we're very proud Samir Mishra was the winner of the United States in Washington, D.C., and we were very proud that West Lafayette was certainly having one of our own as the winner of the National Scripps Spelling Bee. So if you folks will come up, please. We are just delighted. Naomi Shiree Shanti is recognized as the 2020 Regional Scripps Spelling Bee winner on March 7th. Let me put that date, Shiree. Thus, as a member of the 121st Indiana General Assembly, I'm very pleased to congratulate you and your parents on this impressive achievement and wish you continued success in all future endeavors, including this year's Scripps Spelling Bee. I hope you want to do that. With great thanks for your dedication and hard work, because you corrected every word and knew each one. It was just amazing. So we are delighted to present this to you. And I don't know whether we want a little picture taken, Alex, but I want her. Thank you. Thanks, Kelly. We want to make sure. Parents, we want you to know that we give it to you. I will not hide.
Okay, then also, I would like to introduce Joanne Vorse from the Adult Learners, who will have something to say, and then introduce Dan Collins.
So I'm Joanne Forst, and I'm president of Adult Learners, Inc., and Kelly Morehouse, who's taken the pictures, will be the incoming president in January. But before I introduce Dan Collins, who will be presenting the plaques to Shari as well as to the school corporation, I would like for you to look at the program that I brought in from last year. So you will notice that this coming year for 2021, we are going to be celebrating the 31st anniversary of the Scripps Regional National Spelling Bee, which represents 10 counties. I also want to let you know it's going to be at Faith Christian School again, and they are not charging anything for all of us to be there. Last year, we had 40-some schools participating, and Kelly, how many have signed up this year? 24. Now, Scripps, through the national office, is providing a platform, an online virtual platform for all schools for their spelling bees. So there's no reason to stand up and do it, you know, as a group. It's going to be an online platform, and it's not of any cost. I do want to give you just a little bit of a history. There's a gentleman in this community named Arvid Olson. Some of you may know him. He's the marketing director of Faith Church. You may not know that he used to work for the Journal and Courier over 30 years ago. And it was at that time he came to me when I was with the Lafayette Adult Resource Academy for about 40 years. He came to me 31 years ago and said, "Hey, Vorst, would you want to develop a region-wide spelling bee with Gannett and with the Scripps Regional office?" And I said, "Well, that sounds great." He said, "The JNC will be the major sponsor with Lara." And I said, "That's great." So we did it. Then Arvid left for Idaho, and then now is back with Faith, which was the impetus or the catalyst for us having the Faith Church facility. So Arvid is back working with us on the spelling bee. He's a great stakeholder in literacy, and we're so happy that he again plays a major part. He's the stage coordinator, and I want to explain everything. So if you look at the inside page, you'll see all the schools that participated last year. And we're so thankful for them. There was a lot of competition. You'll also notice, and I want to make sure we understand, that this Scripps Regional National Spelling Bee cost over $6,000 to put in place, because it costs like quite a bit of money to send the winner and his or her parent to D.C., which includes transportation and lodging for a week. So, and by the way, as you know, a couple years ago, I think it was 2019, we had 5 winners nationally, and each one of those winners got $50,000. In addition, 2 years ago, I think it was, sometimes I forget those dates, we had a boy from Battleground that came in third place, and he got $10,000. So it's a nice, it's a monetary reward that goes with this. So in terms of the sponsors that contribute money towards the bee, of course we have Adult Learners, Inc., and we have fundraisers, Faith Christian School, Kiwanis Foundation, Bison Financial Group, and Eagles Airy are the major sponsors. And then you'll see the other sponsors listed. There is one that was accidentally omitted, and she's been with me since 1976 on the Lara board, net, Sheila Klinker. But it was not an oversight. We were trying to get this done quickly, and your check didn't come in early enough. So please, but that was okay, because I always make sure that she's recognized. So you will see that on the back of the program, you will see about Adult Learners, Inc. Our mission is to help the disconnected, disenfranchised, disadvantaged adults 18 and over by removing barriers towards their education and career opportunities. And we serve 12 counties with Adult Learners, Inc. And it makes it a good, Adult Learners, Inc. is really a good opportunity for my role also as Adult Education Ambassador through Region 4 Workforce Board, which represents 12 counties. So we work together and helping all the people that we touch, these adults that really need to go back to school but have barriers. So you'll look at the board of directors. Some of you have may have known John Strathman. He's deceased. We have Representative Sheila Klinker, Representative Chris Campbell. We also have Dr. Sherry Shipley. She's a dean of Ivy Tech, and she was the pronouncer last year. We have two new members, Michelle Whitbrock and Pat Wilder. So we're really, really very blessed with literacy stakeholders in this community. And basically, we're really blessed in Tippecanoe County with everyone working together for literacy. So tonight, we have Dan Collins here. He's from Kiwanis Foundation, and he's going to present Shari with the award plaque from the Scripps Regional National Spelling Bee, as well as giving the traveling plaque to the West Lafayette School Corporation for their support of education and always being involved for 31 years in the Scripps Regional National Spelling Bee. Dan is an outstanding literacy stakeholder. Not only does he do a lot with Kiwanis, but I also want to let you know that he was an active volunteer for many years at the Lafayette Adult Resource Academy, and he worked so well with the jail inmates for quite a few years. He was excellent at math and higher level learning for the inmates at the Tippecanoe County Jail. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Dan Collins.
Thank you, Joanne. And one of the things that she didn't tell me when I was asked to do this was that this was a school board meeting. I had no idea. So this is exciting. Three quick comments. One, I appreciate everything all you people have done. I was on TSC school board, so I've got a little bit of an idea of what's going on. Second thing, I did miss the March 7th Spelling Bee contest, probably for a reasonably good reason. March 7th happened to be my wife and I's 50th anniversary, so I was excused. That's right. yeah. March 6th might work. I'll have to check with my social chairman to be sure. So yes, I'm representing the Kiwanis Foundation, and we're one of the sponsors with ALI that specifically donates dollars for the spelling bee. So seeing the fruits of our investment, I'm going to ask Sherry. I've learned this four times and I still can't remember. Shari, to come up, and I do have a plaque for her. You're going to get your picture taken. Thank you. I'm amazed at what these kids do. Because I like, my wife and I like crossword puzzles, and I'm always reminded how little I can spell. I also have the traveling plaque I'm going to present to Alan.
All right, thank you very much. We'll take the prize present. Thank you. Congratulations.
And that's all.
Thank you, Dan. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, we are going to move, just because we have Dr. Ho online here, we are going to make one minor change to the agenda and come back to the communication from the audience, current agenda items. So we're going to move to the WLCSC updates, if that would work right now. Go
yes,
ahead.
Thank you very much. I have Dr. Ho here. He's going to give everyone an update as we see a little uptick going on with the COVID cases and the things that the schools are doing. Want to make sure that everyone hears about the, I think it's great work with the nurses and the staff and the administrators and the teachers and the tracing and Dr. Ho and his staff. So he's got some information he wants to share, and then we'll give just some quick updates with regards to numbers. So Dr. Ho, all yours.
Actually, I do need you to give me the ability to screen share.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. Screen share. Is it working?
Not yet. It says host disabled participant screen sharing, if that helps you figure out what you need to hit. No. That looks like that's your screen.
It is my screen. Well, let me do this. Let me, I've got your slideshow, so let's have some fun here. Let's do this. Always something new with technology. Okay, so I've got your first slide up and everyone can see it and they see you and me, so you can go ahead and I'll just go down through the slides as you say slide one, slide two, etc.
Sure. Well, why don't you just to make it bigger, why don't you hit screen share or slideshow at the top, like fifth one over, and then hit from the beginning. Nope, one down on the PowerPoint itself.
Oh.
Right. Oh, there you go. Perfect. Perfect. So go ahead and move forward. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate being able to join remotely. I just wanted to present like I did at the last school board meeting, and I think we'll try to be available. Anne Marie or I will definitely be available at each meeting to give you an update. Going to start with our dashboard. I know that the team from the administration keeps a dashboard on the website. We're keeping a dashboard strictly more around cases and a student positivity rate. I'm going to share it again in a second, but just giving some people some background before we share it. The tested counts, we are not doing this with a direct feed from a lab of any sort since there are multiple labs, but our school nurses have been incredibly diligent tracking down, talking with parents when the child is out of the in-person side of school. So we feel pretty comfortable that our testing numbers that I'm going to share with you in a minute are accurate to that point. Our positive cases of students do come from test results, though, so we see documentation from parents or from the health department to corroborate all of the parent reports for positive cases of students. You'll see in a minute, if you remember last time, I had a category for students versus staff. And given that we have service providers, we did adapt the newest version for this past month to include a separate category of service providers such as class or case managers or student teachers that are not actual school corporation employees. As far as those test results, we're not getting specific lab testing from staff, but we're definitely hearing about that from their reports. I'm also not going to share on a regular basis quarantine counts because the attendance system manages that. And obviously this is really mostly for the in-person students. So next slide, sir. This is the previous 6 weeks before October. As you can see from the first, just to orient people, the first two columns are positive students, positive staff. And then we have the three different schools and the testing rates, as well as the student positivity rate. Since we're not tracking staff testing, it's impossible for us to track a positivity rate. Just to remind people that the positivity rate is the positive tests divided by total tests. So for that row on September 19th to the 25th, you see one divided by 25, and that's how you come up with the 4.1% to orient folks. And you can see in the first 6 weeks, obviously the first week we showed several cases, but a couple of those came into school with it. And then you can see we really saw low numbers, similar mirroring the trajectory that the rest of the country was seeing. If you go to the next slide, you'll see this is for the month of October. The only difference in the columns is that extra column of positive service providers. So you can see really in the last 2 weeks, counting the beginning of this week as the third week, that we have started to see a rise in both student as well as staff and service provider cases. So overall, the numbers are still ones and twos, which is a really good thing. Our testing has stayed pretty stable. So we can see if you look at the three columns on testing, obviously way more testing going on with the number of students at the middle school and the high school, probably also way more exposures just given that population. But our positivity rates so far remain in that kind of 3 to 4% range when we have a positive. So just want to orient people to the dashboard. Next slide. As I did before, I'll just be able to give some observations kind of from the clinical team to give you a perspective. I think the first perspective is still important, that we are proving that in-person school and athletics is working, that our numbers are low, that our diligence is strong. I think, you know, not to underemphasize this, but to overemphasize, I think for students as well as teachers, staff, the socialization piece is real. So the behavioral health burden from both clinicians as well as public data shows that that is really up. And so any real impact we have of balancing the in-person with our aggressive safety measures is valuable. So I think we're proving that. We also know that cases are on the rise and we are not immune to that. We've done still aggressive contact tracing and follow-up. We've looked at all of our positives, traced them out. All of our nurses are tracing everybody. Students and staff, as well as our administration, is doing that. And we're finding that now, as everyone has been, we're seeing typical behaviors are the folks that are turning positive. It is not risky behaviors, but we're just seeing more cases. But there is definitely some of that bump can be attributed to fall break. And we know fall break occurred, and then the week afterwards, we started seeing several increases in our cases. So I think that just highlights, and I'll close with the same thought, is we have to really, ourselves as leaders, as people on the school board, as people in the audience, everyone's either a leader of your family or a leader of an organization or a leader of a team. We're all individuals are leaders, and we have to really think about the upcoming holidays and what that means. I think we will still continue with our aggressive efforts. I think that's still the key for containment during the second wave. Again, our school nurses, our staff, our administration, Rocky, everyone is doing monitoring. Everyone's talking 7 days a week. These things happen 7 days a week. So I've been on the phone with nurses, principals, and Rocky the last 2 weekends, making sure that we're aggressive on top of it. I think our staff are doing an incredible job of cleaning, and that's an important piece of this. I say quarantine tiering. What I mean by tiering, it really depends on the depth of exposures. So we treat every case. We're building a library of experiences so we know kind of how to manage, and the principals are watching video and we're making sure we know seating charts. So at some point we might just be quarantining an individual plus the two or three or four people around them. We have the online school option for those. So it's an important option to keep the school in session. We may end up closing an entire classroom if we know the exposure is too broad. And obviously Rocky has the ability to close a school if we need to, and we haven't luckily had to do that. So we are matching our tiering of quarantine to our exposure depth. With every case. I think, as I underlined, communication is number one. It's going on 7 days a week. And I think the other thing is we are following our protocols and our reopening plan very consistently. So not underlying any of the efforts at the end, I just want to make sure I'm clear, parents and students and their efforts are also really, you know, just as equally important to keep things going. Being transparent about symptoms, being, you know, out of the school, telling us who's getting tested, keeping kids, you know, and staff themselves out when they're symptomatic, and getting care early. Our community providers are also a part of this. So our testing ability in this community is really strong. Our providers are seeing people when they need to, and our parents and students are doing a great job. And that's really been the key to keeping things going. Last slide. So main takeaways, I would just remind folks that diligence and teamwork, that's the name of the game. It's really the most important thing to highlight. And I did, together with Rocky, we sent out a communication over the weekend or on Friday. I think that's important. Again, everyone that's in the audience, everyone that's in the school board, front of the table, everyone in this room is a leader. We have to follow these rules in order to keep things going. So we got to identify and self-report. We've got to keep people home. Our nurses and our staff are really monitoring literally every situation. If somebody's out, we are figuring out why, and people are being open to telling us about testing because that's the only way we can know how to control the situation. I do bring up wearing a mask in the sense that anyone that you're around, not even, you know, without direct family, I think sometimes the students forget that riding in a car counts. So being in a car, riding with others, you need to wear a mask when it's not your direct family. I think that's the way to minimize this and to keep things going. I think we've mentioned today, noticing that several of our staff and several of our service providers are social distancing. Even as we think about one-on-one or small group meetings, we have to try to stay a minimum of 6 feet. So if we can even sit further apart, I know that Margaret, our principal Willis, was talking about working and talking with somebody, and we were talking about, you know, let's just stay as far apart as we can. Let's not try to minimize that. I think flu shots are important. There's no doubt the combined illness and that compounding the illness burden is a reality. So everyone being diligent about flu shots at least will diminish influenza. And I think some of the social distancing will also diminish some of the influenza effect. And there's some early data. We always see it come from the farther areas coming toward us. So in New Zealand and some other countries, we've seen actually a reduced influenza effect, which would be great if we can keep up all these other things as well. And we saw that in March when everything closed down in March. Our rates of just strep and colds and normal things went down because people were distanced. So I think that's important. And I will end, as I said, on the thought of the holidays. As much as we all want to get together with family and friends, we just really need to think about it, because those gatherings, especially for our elderly relatives and friends, is an important thing. So we'll give an update every month. I think our numbers are climbing up, but we're being very strong in our policies and our protocols 7 days a week to manage the students and the staff, and we will get through this.
Any questions for Dr. Ho or comments? I'd like to say thank you. He is right. We talk every weekend. I have administrators working 6 to 10 hours on Saturdays and Sundays sometimes just to do the tracing. We're constantly talking, trying to figure out where everyone has been, looking at cameras, talking to teachers. Our teachers are helping us by tracking, and our staff by tracking where the students have been. So thank you very much to our teachers who are working very hard to help us with that. So I've been very pleased with the process. We are watching very closely the numbers, and watching very closely if we're going to have an uptick. And Dr. Ho and I have already talked about some thresholds that we'll be watching closely in case we have to close down a section or a school. And as we get closer to winter, as he said, everyone needs to be very diligent about following these protocols. And then right now, just to give you some numbers, we have 2,315 enrolled. We have 1,557 students on site now, and virtual students 758. And we update that tracker every Friday. So as things happen during the week, we gather that information and then we update it on Friday. So.
Yeah, Rocky, I think on behalf of the board too, we've appreciated the constant communication with us and certainly with Dr. Ho as well. So I think it's been helpful for us to at least to know, you know, where you are with this on a regular basis. And yet we also know that it's kind of a little bit out of our hands. We're trying to do the best we can to keep everybody safe. So yeah. I appreciate all your work.
Thanks, Dr. Ho.
Thank you, Dr. Ho.
Take care.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Any other comments or questions? Okay. All right, we're going to move back now to communication for the audience, current agenda items, and I have, I believe, three people that have signed up to speak to that, and we'll start with Laura Falk.
Good evening. My name is Laura Falk. I live at 3820 Sunnycroft Place in West Lafayette. I'm pleased to be here to give you an update of things that I've been working on over the past year. I am, as you know, a former sixth grade teacher. Currently now I'm a permanent sub over here at Willis. And even before George Floyd was a household name, I found a desire to create a mentoring group for a group of sixth grade black girls that I had been working with throughout the year last year. With Libby Sheffield's help, I was introduced to Candace Dobson at the high school, and we got started right away. My vision was to connect the sixth graders to black high schoolers who could be strong role models for my girls. Through meetings and emails, our vision was realized. Our group started small. We would come together in my classroom and eat lunch together. I think at that time we had about 12 people, and my daughter was one of the high schoolers. Through it all, Mrs. Dobson and I would be available to guide discussions, question girls on various topics. They could ask us anything that they'd have questions about. The best memory was playing Pictionary with the girls and just laughing, having a chance to just become a village. We ate lunch in my classroom together every Wednesday. Now we found, as we moved on, the older girls took ownership and embraced their new roles and were there to help create their own new community. Our group has continued to flourish despite this pandemic. Over the summer, we were able to stay together through Zoom meetings and group chats, FaceTimes with individual students. I'm even involved in a Snapchat group with some of the kids so that we can keep connected too. Although we cannot meet on a weekly basis in person, Mrs. Dobson and I continue to stay connected with each other on a weekly basis, and we also try to meet through Zoom meetings and Google Hangouts within between the buildings. Clearly, other audiences can benefit from a group like this, but at the time we found a need for this group and acted upon it immediately. Now, after George Floyd's murder, it was clear more dialogue was needed, so Mrs. Murtaugh and I connected to create a professional development course to open up the topic of conversations about race. We have planned for 3 meetings throughout the year and hope this will develop into a continuing process. Thank you.
Courtney Murtaugh, I'm the school counselor here at Willis. My address is 14 Tice Court, Lafayette. 47905. As Laura Falk stated previously, I reached out to her this summer to discuss my ideas for professional development and student engagement related to diversity and race. As a white woman, I understand that it is crucial for me to have a person of color as my liaison through this process in order to get it right. This summer, while all of the ideas were swirling through my mind, I reached out to my friend and former colleague for guidance. After several meetings and readings, we decided the most effective professional development to start with would be a series of book discussions focused on the book Courageous Conversations About Race, a field guide for achieving equity in schools. We chose this book with the black population in mind, but appreciated that the book discussed all races in need. After sending out a letter of purpose to Willis staff, we had 32 staff members and administrators interested in reading the book and attending the professional development series. The purpose of the 3 professional development book discussions this year for Willis is to help lay people begin to engage emotionally and mentally in difficult conversations about race, to use empirical data and well-constructed exercises to help us think through the ways that race affects our professional practice. This is a plan that has come together slowly and with great consideration as we want to get it right. Lastly, my October guidance lessons for the 4th, 5th, and 6th graders this year, both virtually and on-site, focused on diversity and race. The lessons were developed in conjunction with the Indiana School Counselor competencies for our grade levels. Some of these competencies state that students will be able to describe diversity in people in our world, demonstrate respect of diversity, apply effective coping skills in response to modern day issues, and demonstrate care and ethical responsibility to peers, teachers, and school community. Upcoming lessons this school year will focus on other aspects of diversity, but the conversation was started with race intentionally. fourth and fifth graders read Let's Talk About Race by Julius Lester and created handprints with their unique skin tone. Sixth graders watched a shortened version of A Class Divided, a school experiment from 1968 where the teacher divided her class into groups based on the color of their eyes. The students were very engaged and eager to discuss the topic of belonging and acceptance of all of the human race. They soaked this up. I believe that West Lafayette Community School Corporation is made up of children and adults who are inclusive, unique, educated, and also open to learning and growing. I know that racial and cultural diversity is something we treasure in our community, but also know that some of our children will grow up to move and live in less diverse communities in the future, or perhaps have even joined us from less diverse communities currently. My hope is that these lessons will help students develop skills that they can use as leaders in our future. I look forward to learning more myself and understand that I am no expert in the area, only a counselor who is open to having difficult conversations that will better our community. Thank you.
So at least for the agenda items, Lauren Wyrick. So I don't know if I pronounced the name right.
Hi, good evening. My name is Lauren Wyrick. I live at 2215 Rainbow Drive. I'm a mother of three, a Navy veteran, and a proud American. My family and I moved here from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in April of 2018, and I came here tonight to talk to you about the West Lafayette CARES demands. It's something in particular that I oppose. I have a personal story about this that I'd like to share with you first. Whenever my eldest son was in second grade, he's half Japanese and half Caucasian, he was attacked on his bus by a fifth grader and four second graders. They all happen to be of African American descent, which by no means do I consider all racist in any way, shape, or form, but they called him racial slurs. They gave him the middle finger, said, "Welcome to effing America. We hope that you go back to where you came from." So racism is a problem that I truly believe needs to be solved. It needs to be looked at from multiple angles. However, I disagree with the use of something called critical race theory, which is something that's in the West Lafayette CARES demands. Critical race theory, if you don't know already, it has certain keynotes to it. The first is that each person is identified by their melanin content, meaning your skin color is the most important thing about you. It's your most important attribute. And rather than looking at each other just based off of our character, it looks at your skin color first. This is something that I strongly disagree with, and I don't think that it holds up to Martin Luther King's ideas and teachings that we should be judged not based on the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. Because of this critical race theory that's being taught in colleges and law schools all around the country, we are now starting to see segregation again. Dorms are starting to segregate. Libraries are starting to have white and colored areas. In Portland, they had a mask mandate only for white people. That is regression in my mind, not progression. Second, it works under the premise that everything is racist. No matter what you do, no matter what you say, no matter what your intention, it is regarded to be racist under critical race theory. If everything is racist, and then you teach a child that they need to be anti-racist, they will want to destroy everything that is racist. So I do not agree with this teaching. Third, I do not believe critical race theory is open to criticism. I believe that the people who see it truly do mean good intent. And I know that they're trying to do something good, but it ends up having the opposite effect. The school that my son was in had this teaching in it, and it caused something called reverse racism. And it is not pretty. critical race theory is also totalitarianism. It's totalitarian in nature. Not only do they want to control what you do, but they also want to control if you don't do something. So, for example, they will come in your face, hold up their fist, say that you need to say a certain mantra, and if you don't say it, then you're a racist. If you don't agree to all of their demands, you're a racist. This is something that is completely unacceptable. Critical race theory also views science, math, and reason as instruments of white supremacy to keep white people in power and oppress people of color. I personally feel like that's completely ridiculous. I have something to give to the board. It is a table of what they consider whiteness to be. I also brought something from a lady called Angela Davis, who is a huge proponent of critical race theory, and she is a known communist. And I know that American values and American beliefs will not accept communism in our country. And I believe critical race theory is a way to subvert our children into thinking like communists. In conclusion, critical race theory uses force to control others. It is dangerous to our families, our community, and our nation. I believe that West Lafayette needs to stand, and we will stand against the West Lafayette care demands, because we need to stop tyrannical activism and nonsensical demands on schools. As a wise woman named Mercy Otis Warren once said, "We will stand against tyranny today, or our children will bow tomorrow." Thank you.
And for us too as well. Thank you. Just want to leave that there, and I'll take care of it.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
You want to know, okay, for us to keep?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay, we will now move on to our actionable items with respect to diversity, anti-racism discussion, which the board did receive in advance. The intent here is we have begun, as you've heard tonight, some discussions on this, since not only exclusively from what occurred with WL Cares and the initial petition, but also some discussion as and activity with respect to the board, with talking to not only WL Cares but other stakeholders with respect to the diversity anti-racism discussion. And we put together some basic items that we would like to be able to be put in place to have that discussion, which I think is important, as we've heard from everyone tonight, and to begin that discussion. And that is basically, and you can read this, but by January 4th board meeting, we will assemble a racially diverse stakeholder committee, including members of the board, identify and retain a BIPOC consultant expert in racial diversity and equality, initiate a review of our existing policy, certainly, and receive a summary snapshot by snapshot report by each building's administrative team, in addition to some of the other things that are mentioned there. So that is our plan, or at least that is a motion that I will make to be able to begin with these actionable items. And part of the reason too for the January 4th board meeting is to begin this process. We know that we have a board election as well tomorrow, so we may have some turnover in the board as well. So that was a consideration too. So I will need a motion for this process and a second, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Witt.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Procknell. And to also to disclose too that Rachel Witt and Karen Springer and myself have been involved with this really since about the middle of July with this process, and have reached out. We have had discussions with WL Cares directly on October the 22nd. That discussion was productive from, and to me, at least I'll speak for myself, informational from their perspective. And I think it's important that we are going to have some different perspectives to
to work our way through as this process begins. So any other questions or any other discussion now that we have a motion on the table? Okay, hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion will carry and we'll begin that process over the next 2 months. Thank you, and thank you for comments here tonight from everybody. So, all right, we'll move on to health, dental, and vision renewal. And Steve, I think the floor is yours.
Renewal. We met with our insurance agent back in October, along with representatives from the WLEA Insurance Committee. And we are at this point recommending a 3% increase in rates, premiums for all the plans in the health insurance side, and maintaining our current rates in the vision and dental.
Okay. And do we need a motion to accept that then? I see.
Yes.
Okay, need a motion, please.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mr. Schott. Any additional discussion? Rachel?
Yeah, just to clarify, Steve, this is no change to the plan, just a slight increase to the premium, correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. 3%. Other questions or comments?
And we will have to update our handbook to reflect that increase, so probably in December we'll do that. Once we get all those calculations figured out.
Okay. Any other questions down the line? All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll move on to Willis textbook surplus. And Ross, the floor is yours.
Yeah, we have here at the intermediate school some textbooks that are older adoption materials, some back to 2006, 5, 2011. So these materials are really not useful in the building any longer. So we've asked the board if they could declare these textbooks as obsolete. We can sometimes sell on the used market, or if there's no demand, we would give them to other any agency that would have use for them. So we recommend your motion to declare these items a surplus. It's like a Right Source book for grade 6, grade 5, Indiana Math Connects, grade that was done in 2011, and the grade strategies for writers. So I think we've moved on to new adoptions.
Okay, need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Prochnow. Discussion or questions for Ross? Okay, all in favor of this motion, please say aye.
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 And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. We'll move on to arbitrage insurance renewal, and Ross, back to you.
Okay, now arbitrage for our bonds that were construction bonds, we have for 17, 18, and 19. We need, in order to maintain tax exemption status on those bonds, the needs to be an arbitrage calculation, basically saying that any earnings of unspent funds is not greater than interest cost, and that also there's a review that these bond proceeds are spent in a timely manner. So we would recommend engaging Eismiller, our legal counsel, who also helped us on as our bond counsel when we sold these bonds, that we contract with them to keep an eye on the on when it's when these arbitration calculations are due, and they would then submit, you know, necessary, submit the appropriate documents, but they would keep us on track. So we'd recommend the contract with them. I think they charge, like, depending on the bond size and the issue, is $3,000 for one, $2,800 for another, and then $1,200 for additional calculations after that. So I got quotes from Baker Tilly also on this calculation, and Eismiller was a little bit lower, so that's why I'd recommend going with Eismiller.
Okay. Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Schott.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Discussion? Question? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? And then that motion does carry. Personnel report, Dr. Killian.
I recommend your approval of the items listed in the personnel report.
So moved.
Moved by Dr. Springer.
Second.
Second by Mr. Marley. Questions, discussions, again, if you've seen this in advance. Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Accounts payable, Ross, back to you.
Okay, we have a total of $4,002,438.89. It consists of two payrolls. It consists of payroll deductions in October. Our claim run, we vet claims and construction projects. A couple of things I'd like to point out. You might have noted on the city bus, you know, it shows we pay $15,932. Then its description is trippers 1 hour times 19 days. That's not a complete description. The $15,000 includes $14,845, which is our monthly payment for the city bus services. The tripper amount is really $1,083, that amount. What the tripper is, it's an extra bus that takes students from the high school up to the athletic complex after school. So that's additional charge. You might wonder why we paid MSD of Wayne Township $479. It says dues. What it is, the food service is in a food service cooperative that is involved with Wayne Township, and so any fees, you know, are processed through them. And I think there's another, the Huntington cards that are totaled. I think we had better descriptions. We had on the back of your packet, it gave the detail of those charges for software and so on. The Quadient Leasing USA, that is not a familiar item on our list, and that is a postage machine lease that we use to process postage. And the Tippecanoe New School Corporation pays $6,700 as for our bus labor and parts, you know, so that's kind of a normal part we have. I guess lastly, Baker Tilly Investments of $3,145. That was for continuing disclosure services for the bond of 2013. So unless you have questions, you know, we'd recommend approval of these claims.
Need a motion, please?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Marley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Procmo. Sorry, Melissa. Discussion or any other questions, please? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And opposed? Hearing none, that motion does carry. Information to the board, I don't have anything additional. Board and superintendent reports, I'll go around the horn. I don't know how many we really have right now, just based on COVID, but Melissa, I'll start down with you. Anything from your perspective?
Yes. The West Lafayette Schools Education Foundation met on October 15th. We went over the financials, and they reported the alumni newsletter went out. The nominating committee is looking for names, and if anyone is interested that's watching tonight, they're looking for members for the West Lafayette Education Foundation. Please contact the admin team, and they will be able to put you in touch. Rocky gave a review of academic achievement, which he went through tonight. Also, the West Lafayette Education 5K was held over the weekend, and that was it.
Thank you. Tom?
Melissa gave a report for the foundation. I'm good, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Rachel, anything new from your end?
No, sir.
Brad?
Insurance committee met to review the quote that we just voted on tonight, so I'm very happy to report a 3% increase, which is a home run in the insurance business.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Good job.
Yeah.
The West Lafayette Wellness Center needs employees. They're seeking staff members to work part-time, and they need lifeguards, swim instructors, water safety, water exercise, group exercise instructors, personal trainers, fitness coaches, front desk, housekeeping, child care, and many more. And you can apply online through the West Lafayette, City of West Lafayette website. And they need these people come January. So if you're interested, do apply.
And it's a soft opening, or they're opening January 2021.
Yes.
Soft opening before.
Yes, they'll have tours for the public later this month, early December.
Great. Okay, good. Go ahead, Rocky.
Sure. I want to congratulate our school district. Niche.com ranked West Lafayette School number one in the state 6 years in a row. I think this is the first year we also had our teachers ranked number one in the state, so congratulations to our teachers and our staff. And the national rankings, 12th best school district in the state of Indiana, and number four best teachers in America. So congratulations to everyone. Can we do better? Absolutely. Are there things we can improve on? Absolutely. But I appreciate everyone's hard work to get those rankings, because I think it's important for our, especially our teachers and our staff, to be recognized.
And you meant 12th nationally.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
12th best in America.
Right. Thank you.
Yes.
Good. That's great news. Communication from the audience, non-agenda items, and we have two. Randy Stoops. No. Mary Dell.
Hi, Mary Dell Forbes, WLEA. Just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to Dr. Ho, Rocky, and the board for all of the, and our administration and our nurses and other staff for all of the hard work on COVID. It takes a village to really, you know, stay vigilant and mindful, and it's truly been a cooperative effort, and hopefully we can continue to keep the lid on COVID through the fall and the winter, and so far so good. So thank you for the cooperative efforts of everybody involved. And as for the rankings, that also takes a village, and it wouldn't be without a supportive administration and board. We couldn't do our jobs the way we can. So thank you again, and looking forward to a good second quarter.
Okay, future meetings, we will have our next board meeting will be regular board meeting December 7th at 6:30 p.m. and we have a couple tentative executive board meetings that are on the schedule. Need a motion for adjournment. Moved by Mrs. Witt, second by Mr. Marley. All in favor of that motion, please say aye. And opposed? Hearing none, that motion carries. We do have some things to sign. And thank you all for attending.